The Simpsons Mixtape.
Post-apocalypse.
Each other's heads open and feast on the goo inside? Yes, I would, Kent.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Simpsons Mixtape. Yeah, I'm Aaron.
I'm Sam.
I'm Warren.
And as always, we are here outside in the woods.
In the cold, cold woods.
In the cold, cold woods, the ruins of the old apartment that we used to watch The Simpsons in.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really particularly wolfy out tonight.
Yeah, lots of wolves.
A lot of wolves.
Yeah.
So just
Dan and Frank's here.
See,
and
if you name them, then you're going to have trouble killing them if you need to kill them.
Frank's a dick, though, so I feel like I won't feel too bad.
All right, as long as you said that about Nancy.
That's
the deer.
That's true.
All right.
I can't believe you guys ate her. It's upsetting.
I personally found the name to make her more delightful.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, so anyway, if you're listening to this frequency, please beware of the wolves.
Yeah, and again, as always, thank you so much for using the low battery that you have on your walkie-talkies. For listening to this podcast.
It's amazing that we've been doing this podcast way back since 2014.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You know, I was actually just thinking the other day, do you remember when we went and saw the Mr. Burns post-electric
play? Yeah. Theater Wit, right?
Yeah, way long time ago in like 2015?
Early 2015.
I mean, it's hard to remember anything before the mutant uprising, but
That's true. Or before you started wearing your hair in a mohawk.
Yeah.
It looks good, by the way. Have I told you that? It's looked fantastic for many, many years, but I've never said it.
If I'm going to carry a baseball bat with a bunch of nails to it, you have to have a mohawk.
Yeah, right. It was great.
You just look like an idiot otherwise.
I was also going to say, I think you tried to put a tattoo of a skull on your face.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't look, it doesn't really look like a skull.
It's kind of off-center, too. It's
You try giving yourself a skull tattoo on the side of your head, and we'll see how centered up you get.
Okay.
That's fair. I'm glad that you're embracing this whole post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, no. Wait, oh shit.
What?
Here's your son.
What? What is...
Hey!
Who is it?
If I was going to shoot you, I would have done it already.
Okay. Right. Okay. Hey. Well, just state your business. What's your name?
My name's Hannah Gomez.
Hannah Gomez from Mr. Burns, a post-electric play.
You guys remember that? That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Really good.
Yeah, and it's really strange how things went exactly like in the play.
In the
like,
show, yeah.
Reality is
rather unfortunate, really.
It is unfortunate. Yeah, but great show. That was a really good show.
We tried to touch on something.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Here's a question. Do you guys feel responsible for what happened? Or
I don't want to say yes.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The truth of the answer is...
Honestly,
yeah, maybe it might.
Honestly,
might
it was great. I feel like it was worth it. I feel like it was worth it. That was really good show.
All right, excellent. Do you want some water? Are you hungry?
Always.
That's
why I approached your campfire.
All right, great. We have some rainwater in this tire.
I love when it's got that hint of rubber.
Oh yeah, that really does the trick.
It does.
It gets you a certain kind of high too.
It kind of does.
Forget your troubles.
We don't know how to make moonshine, but we know how to make tire water.
Yeah, it's real simple. You get a tire, catch water.
It's a secret recipe.
So, Hannah, how are you? Tell us about what you've been doing with your life, present or what you did beforehand.
Well, a lot of stuff went down. I mean, you said it went exactly as the show.
It did.
If you remember my role, Colleen, she went through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She did.
Oh, yeah.
As you can see, I still open carry.
Yeah.
To survive. Just been roaming around trying to find a group to settle with to talk about the Simpsons.
You've hit the right place.
Back when you were acting in Chicago before the great electric down. That's what I like to call
the electric
it.
Down.
The electric down. Yeah. What do you guys call
which
it?
Which also
the end of society.
Yeah. Yeah. They were selling electric down for a while. It was really uncomfortable pillows, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. They used up a lot of energy. Yeah. That's right.
They actually electrified a goose. Plucked his feathers.
So anyway. So
another reason why there's not a lot of electricity
That's a good point.
Waits are not geese. When will we learn?
Oh, those selfish feathered bastards. So way back when you were acting in Chicago, tell us a little bit about what it was like being an actor in Chicago.
I got really lucky because I feel like, you know, being short and stout, there's not a lot of roles written for you, but I seemed to find some. So I had a lot of groups that would take me on. May they rest in peace.
Oh, they're probably dead by now.
Yeah, but, we're the lucky ones. I got really lucky, so it was a lot of fun.
What were some theaters that you'd worked for?
Rivendell, 16th Street, American Theater Company, just a couple. I tried to work with like shows that I believed in.
Oh, excellent.
So, how did you get cast in Mr. Burns? Did you know anybody, or did you just put in your name? You put in your audition information and all that, or?
Yeah, I submitted. I knew some people at Two Birds, mm-hmm. and then they called us in. It was interesting because the director said he ended up casting all of us because he actually believed we would survive. He said actual musical theater people, and
he was right.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Where's everybody else? All right.
A lot of stuff went down. We got hungry, so.
Yeah, the show went on for like years.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, tell us a little bit about the. We'll get into some maybe spoilers. For those out there on the frequency who have seen the show. And so we can kind of like talk a little bit about what we thought of the show and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with The Simpsons.
My relationship, so I wasn't allowed to see anything or listen to anything secular until like after eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then so it was like right around high school that my friend John Stickney was like, he gave me this music CD. And it was like a Springfield file. So it had all those songs like Dr. Zaius and Monorail. Yeah.
Oh, was it the Simpsons Songs in the Key of Springfield?
Yes. And so he gave me that. And then so I started watching it. And then like through high school, I was like, just like really, because the Simpsons they're us, you know, like reflected back to us. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got into it.
That's awesome. Wow. So the show Mr. Burns was based on the episode, or it's centered around Cape Fear, the episode Cape Fear, which is my favorite episode of all time.
Pretty great, yeah.
How well did you know that one already? Did you know that episode when you went into rehearsing the show? Or
I was familiar with it. I didn't remember all of the details, but because I think it is the most popular episode.
Yeah.
Or it was the most popular episode of all time. Mm-hmm. So we all were like familiar with it on different levels. So it was fun kind of like finding that as a group, you know.
Yeah, did you guys all watch it together or anything like that, or
they did, and I wasn't called in.
Oh,
so I watched it later. I watched it later, but I had seen it.
It's interesting, actually. I know Leslie Ann Shepherd, who was in the show, and she borrowed my DVD to watch the episode. And I wonder if everybody watched my DVD. I'm a lot more important than I ever thought.
I don't know if that's true. Ever since you found that statue of yourself in the woods.
I think it says a lot. In fact, it does say a lot because it's still running on battery power and it spoke.
I say it's a Teddy Ruxpin statue that's been acid rained on a lot. I think that's more.
I don't know. It looks a lot like me. I was acid rained on.
That's true.
I look maybe we just look a lot alike, but
that's true. You have almost no face,
right?
But you do have teddy bear ears for some reason.
I think they're adorable.
Well,
I haven't heard many complaints from the ladies who also
they're
had
all
their
dead.
Face messed up. Don't make fun of my taste in ladies just because they happen to all be dead. This is a different world we live in.
It's
okay?
True. We need to adapt. We all need to adapt.
It's true.
I'm immediately feeling very uncomfortable in this circle now.
No. Is that why you have your gun trained on us right now?
It's always.
We're just talking about necrophilia. You find me a group right now not talking about necrophilia.
Welcome to the new world.
So I asked you via smoke signal a while ago about if you knew your favorite top five episodes.
Yes.
So maybe you could share with us.
I don't remember the titles, but I remember the bulk of the episode. One of them, I love seeing little Burns as like a little kid. Mm-hmm. So it was, and it was like a Citizen Kane, like plant.
Rosebud.
Rosebud, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That one. I also love, I don't know the name of it, it's where Homer and Marge, they were like kids, and then they like went to camp together, but then for some reason he chose someone else. And she was like mad about it.
It's a newer one.
It's a newer one? Oh, wow. I have not seen that one.
Yeah. We call those the danger zone episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Well, the way we look at it, sort of, is that seasons 1 through 11 were the classic seasons.
With some people don't even include 11.
Yeah, and then 12 through 329.
right.
Did it go that long? I forget.
I think it's still going. I think it's still going. Still going. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, 12 and after can be a little dicey. And
dicey?
Sometimes,
how so?
The thing. It's an interesting conversation to have because we haven't had many people on the show that you know, don't think of it like that. And there's plenty of people that don't think of it like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we grew up with a certain age of The Simpsons, and you turn into a teenager, and you start to get, like, this isn't the show that I grew up with. Mm-hmm.
And then you never emotionally mature beyond that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Could it be, like, the age of Simpson fans, like, that what they were comfortable with and what was shocking or like hilarious changed?
No. No, I think it's an interesting debate. It really is. Mm-hmm. I personally think the show has gone on so long now that it's kind of like Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. where it just has these
ebbs and flows.
Yeah. But like I would say though, I really do believe like the true golden age is just probably 1 through, I would even say 9 and 10. 10 it still has a lot of good ones. And even in the danger zone, there are good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, we've come across some really good ones that were like, oh, okay, that wasn't as bad as we thought it might be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of, it varies from, oh yeah, that one was actually pretty good, to, there wasn't even a real joke in that episode.
Yeah, like that pissed me off.
It was just not great. And yeah, so
is it dangerous to ask how you felt about the movie?
We have differing opinions on the movie, actually.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. What,
did
what
you like it?
I liked it.
I liked it.
I did too. I really loved it.
I'm leaving.
Well, good luck.
Good luck out there.
I'm gonna get
Nancy's sisters out there.
I'm gonna get my bindle. And I'm gonna take this fire too. I'm taking the fire.
Don't take the fire.
I'm taking it.
You're gonna burn yourself like last
time. It'd be so easy to find too. Just a man.
Oh yeah,
fire.
You're right. All right, I'll stick around.
But yeah, I really liked the movie. At times it still felt a little like new age Simpsons, but I think all in all it was really good. It was good. It was a good
fine.
Movie. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say it ranks. It would be a good season 11 or 12 episode. And that it does have some jokes in there. And actually, I really love about the movie the fact that it deals with Marge kind of almost ending it with Homer.
Yeah.
Like she has that.
I love those episodes.
The
one where Homer like was almost like cheating with this like beautiful woman.
Right.
I love when they're exploring their relationship.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because then it was funnier, but
yeah,
it's
the Mindy
why
episode,
do I
right?
Yeah, the
identify
Mindy,
with
yeah.
the Simpsons.
And like
yeah.
and in that episode, Homer wasn't like perfect. Like Homer was totally tempted and like even kissed her.
Mm-hmm.
And like they didn't treat it like probably, you know, like maybe 90s or 80s television shows where it would have been like, no. Homer loves Marge. He is not even going to have any wavering doubts.
Right.
But the fact is that human beings have doubts. Like human beings have struggles in their marriage. And I love that it was explored that way. I was going to say about the movie, I do like that they had that moment in there where she was doubting their marriage and she was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. But it felt unwarranted how they got to that moment, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it can be tough too now because like I feel like no matter what, first of all, I thought her acting, Julie Kavner's acting in the movie was great. Like she seemed tired. I don't know, Marge just was like, it was really good acting for Marge. But it seems like no matter what, you're gonna pretty much, it's been done already is the problem. Like she's been tired so many times of the relationship that it's, I don't know, you've seen so many of them, it's hard for it to let it ring true in certain ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really just an age thing, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so
yeah.
That's one episode.
Right.
Every episode you mention, we're going to keep coming back to the movie.
And I'm going to probably threaten to leave after every one of them.
Okay. I think we mentioned in the show, too, Lisa the vegetarian, which she loves the lamb.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, too. I love that one.
Yeah, I just love when Lisa gets excited about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I did like the episode where Bart became best friends with...
Ralph?
Not Ralph.
Okay.
The bully.
Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he hits the bird, where he shoots the bird, or...
I think so, yeah. And then, like, but you get to see, like, he has, like, an awful mom. And,
yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then he was also, like, Bart was like, really, we can't be friends. Yeah. Like, it was, like, really, like, he couldn't break his heart.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. How many was that?
That's three.
That's three?
Four. Oh, yeah, that's right, four, yeah.
Okay, and then there's one where I remember Apu. It's like all about Apu, and he and Homer like
go to India
to the first convenience store.
I think that one is. I think that one is just called Homer and Apu. Actually,
That's got a great one where Homer goes. Is there where Apu is like there it is, the world's first convenience store. He's like, this isn't very convenient. Must do dump on everything we do.
So one of the things in the show, in Mr. Burns, that they, it's pretty amazing. That the show, it consists of the group after a post-apocalyptic event. They're telling each other, they're explaining to each other, or reenacting to each other, Cape Fear, the episode of The Simpsons, Cape Fear. And that is the basis of the show where people have started to just reenact Simpsons episodes as entertainment, which is great because that's what we have to do now as the Simpsons Mixtape podcast. So we thought, we would recreate, Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick. And then we talk about it after that. Did you want to help us?
Oh, yeah. I've got nothing but time now.
Okay, great. Excellent. All right. So, Warren, do you want to act this one out for us? Do you know the entire score of the HMS Pinafore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been practicing for years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, great. All right. We'll do our thing, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the beautiful experience of reenacting Cape Fear.
All right. Here we go.
Himself has said it, and it's clearly to his credit that he is an Englishman. He remains an Englishman.
Steven Eady tickets. I'm all yours.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Do you want some leaves? We have some.
Yeah.
Oh, we have leaves.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they're not poison ivy.
It's a risk I'll take.
Okay, great. All right, here you go.
Warren, great job. That was amazing.
Thank you.
That was that's a great episode.
It's actually my favorite episode, too, when we gave our top five all those years ago. That was my number one. Cape Fear is definitely my number one.
Yeah, it is an amazing one. It is one I remember as a kid laughing at chainsaw.
Yeah, like, that one I remember losing my shit.
That
when I was a kid,
that,
yeah.
That was one of the first, I think, losing my breath. Like, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die from laughing.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, and there's so many gags like that too. Like the one, and a lot of these were in, or at least referenced in Mr. Burns. Like I'm pretty sure when Bart goes back and forth, he goes to the eels, or he goes to the alligator. He goes to the eels, and then he goes back to the alligator. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah. And I love that joke. I don't know. Because just like Bart has a horrible memory or something.
Right. let's recap the episode real quick.
Yeah, well, first of all, it was directed by Rich Moore.
Okay.
Written by John Vitti. And original air date was October 7th, 1993. This is all from the Wikipedia archives in the local rundown library.
Mm-hmm.
All of my sheets here.
Yeah, it's old.
Somebody was nice enough to write down the internet before all the power went out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was really, really nice of them.
That guy had the worst case of fucking hand cramps.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And he actually wrote down all of my personal emails as well. Because he was, it's not cool. No. It's not cool. Wait, did he ask anybody else that? All right, you know what? I'm going to talk to that guy. If he's still under that big rock, I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. So let's recap the episode real quick. So it basically just starts with Bart is getting these kind of like threatening letters from someone. So the first half
It starts with McBain.
That's right.
The very beginning, which I totally forgot about, starts with McBain doing his late night talk show.
Right.
And I forget if we talked about this recently. Well, we definitely, when I say recently, I mean in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, sure.
Right. but like his music guy is also his partner from all the movies, right? Scully? Mm-hmm.
Scully.
Yeah, so his band leader is his, I ain't gonna make it. That guy from all the McBain movies.
The guy who gets shot.
And that great gag of, you look like a homosexual. Maybe you all are homosexuals too. So then Bart starts getting threatening letters, mm-hmm. and they turn out to be from Sideshow Bob, who's trying to kill him. He gets released from prison. The houseboat thing happens, and it's great. Is that good at the recapping?
Yeah, that's great. that was perfect. I was actually just going to try and look up in these Wikipedia pages because the announcer said his name and the name Wolfcastle was in it. It's some sort of illusion that is a relative of Rainier Wolfcastle because that's who's hosting the show. So it's up late with McBain, but the host's name is like Fafokubanwul Wolfcastle. Like,
oh, you mean not the host, but The announcer.
Sorry,
right,
yeah,
right. That has a swastika on his
and
arm.
He's clearly an old Nazi.
which is a weird thing now. It's McBain hosting the show, but the actor's name is Rainier Wolfcastle.
Yeah, that's
so he's
it's
hosting like, the show as a character.
It's almost like when Alf had a TV show.
Yeah.
Or had a late night show.
Kind of, yeah. Alf did have like a...
It was a late night show.
Right.
It was a talk show, yeah.
Right, yeah. Like on TV Land or something, yeah.
What do we think of the episode? What did you think of the episode?
I thoroughly enjoy it. I like the bits when you leave the storyline. Like when Lisa gets a letter.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, dictatorship.
From her pen pal Anya.
Yeah.
It's the most, it's one of the, I remember... It's really one of the, like, season 5 gets so cartoony, but in mm-hmm. a great way. Like, they kind of leave their reality a bit. And that's where you can have so many such weird, silly, cartoony gags, like him singing the entire score of the HMS Pinafore.
Right. And I love how that gets, like, it starts off with him just singing, and there's no props or anything. Then we flash forward, and he's using a mop for a wig, and, like, the shower curtain for, like, a nightgown or something.
Right.
And then we flash forward even more, and now he's wearing kind of a, like, crudely made pirate outfit with striped shirts, and there's, like, they're using oars in the background, and they've made these, like, cardboard cutouts. So it's, like, somewhere in the course of him singing this song, they made these props and got these costumes. And then he's in a full, like, general old outfit.
Yeah.
Englishman's outfit. soldier's outfit.
Uniform.
Soldier costume. And then at the very end,
a huge United Kingdom flag.
It flies down, and then someone
hands him flowers.
Who's not Bart?
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, where this reality is? It's just great.
Yeah. Well, and these are definitely the kind of episodes when you think of like old or newer episodes where you're like, man, that breaks the reality too much. You're like, come on.
Yeah, they did that a lot.
Yeah, they did that a ton.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. One thing, the chalkboard gag was the cafeteria deep fryer is not a toy. Right. The couch gag was the long opening one with the circus where they start doing a kick line.
Right. And it was not the first time that was used. I think Lisa's first word is the first time they used that one. And they used it because the episode ran really short, and that's also why they did the rake gag.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode ran really short, and the rake gag, which is... I remember that was the first time. Okay, I feel like I've said this in the podcast before.
Well, it was decades ago, so it's hard to remember.
No, but not even necessarily about this moment. So I might be lying, but I feel like this is one of the first times that I really experienced a long joke, mm-hmm. that it was just funny because it was going on too long.
Yeah.
And now because of all kinds of like Family Guy and all that, you don't even feel like it's a long joke anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just remember going, wow, it's still going. That's hilarious.
Right. It's...
But they just put it in there because they were short on time.
I think I always remember it as one rake less. Because I'm always like, this is probably the end of it. I'm like, no, I've seen it many times and I'm wrong every time.
It's also so funny because Sideshow Bob, who like we, because of his dialect and like his resort, like who has a weapon in prison to like poke their finger, but he's so resourceful and like dedicated. And yet in these situations, like he just doesn't have words or like problem solving skills.
Yeah.
He just like, will like run into a rake and grumble. His grumbling is so perfect. And he when he's like, no, you say that again, Marge. And then just grumbles. He has no problem solving.
Yeah, that grumble is
moment.
So perfect. There's something about that.
I don't think I got enough credit for all these rakes I managed to assemble over there.
That was pretty impressive, by the way.
Plus the giant gash I have in my forehead right now. So.
Yeah. We'll get through the podcast.
Is that
we'll
not from the Marauders from last week? That's from just now?
I have trouble remembering.
Yeah, you have so many gashes, I tend to forget where they came from.
Your tattoo is really smudging.
Well, it's in pen. So.
One thing I noticed was this is the first time that they cover up the T in the word diet and to make it look like it says die. Because Marge is cutting out a coupon that says for Diet Cola.
Oh, yeah, they do that again.
And then later on, it looks like she's saying die. Like, oh, maybe she's the one who's sending the letters. But then it turns out it's Diet Cola. And then also in the...
Itchy and Scratchy?
No, I think it's Springfield Files.
Where Mr. The sign.
The sign. Homer is like out in the woods, and then he sees a sign that says die, and then the trees blow, and it says diet.
And he
screams again.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that they basically used the same joke in the same episode with Itchy and Scratchy when it says pay your pets.
Oh.
We pay your pets $75, and it's actually we spay your pets $75.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. A little piece of trivia. Sideshow Bob's prison number is 1211.
Interesting, because then later, in some point in the series, it's 24601.
Yeah, they go...
Oh, that's Skinner.
That was Skinner's number.
Yeah, but he says I swear...
Well,
actually,
we watched the episode with Marge...
We recreated the episode.
That's right. Sorry, excuse me. We recreated the episode. And Marge's number was 24601 as well.
Yeah, okay.
So the costumes that we
bought. So they're just doing the Jean Valjean.
Yeah, they do Jean Valjean a lot. I think they just kind of... like using 2461.
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't look that up in our piles and piles of papers. If 21211 has any significance, I would imagine because it's a Simpsons, it probably does.
Might be like an episode number or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to ask you guys if you remember. So in the episode where Bart, Milhouse, Nelson, and Martin go to the World's Fair, they go to the Knoxville, Tennessee World's Fair, and Homer's cigar is also from that. It says 1983.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if that's the age of that book that Milhouse
has.
It
was in the early 80s. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
remember.
But it's the same. But I mean, if it was the World's Fair in Knoxville, it only happened once. Yeah. So it's a second time that we talk about the Knoxville, Tennessee World's Fair. a couple other things. The Springfield, what's it called? The shield that they have?
Oh, yeah. Emblem
or something. The crest or something.
Yeah.
So the Springfield thing that's behind them in when Bob is at his parole hearing is a star, a corn, radiation symbol of the fallout kind of symbol, and a beaver for some strange reason. But that's the crest. That's for Springfield.
I thought you should know that in these Wikipedia articles here, it says in popular culture, it does reference that a clip from the episodes featured on the television in One Hour Photo in the 2002 film with Robin Williams, One Hour Photo. But also, the episode turns out is central to the 2012 play, Mr. Burns, a post-electric play by Anne Washburn, in which a group of post-apocalyptic survivors bond over retelling the episode's plot. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like we were just talking about that play, weren't we?
Yeah, the tire water really messes with your memory.
Yeah, anybody want some more?
I do. I don't know why.
I that's pretty much all I have as far as things that I noticed. The U-Toe is a U-Haul parody in there.
It was nominated for an Emmy. It says nominated. I guess it didn't win, but it's definitely thought of as one of the best episodes of the show.
And it's like when Homer wants to be John Elway, and then they're losing big. Because I know, like, I think it was back-to-back years. The Denver Broncos went to the Super Bowl and just got blown out. Like, and that would have been about. I think they even say like what Super Bowl it is in the show. Like, I think they lost like 3 out of 4 years like in the Super Bowl, and like I think 2 of them were just like massacred.
Was there a San Francisco and the Broncos one?
They played the Broncos. Niners played the year after Broncos and Giants.
Oh, okay.
And I think both of them were just like massacres.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, wow.
They talk a little bit about Kelsey Grammer in here and how awesome he is at Sideshow Bob.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. Alf Clausen, the composer for The Simpsons, commented that Grammer's so great, he's just amazing. Yeah, you can tell he has this love of musical theater and he has the vocal instrument to go with it, so I know whatever I write is going to be sung the way I've heard it. And they try to, every time they have Sideshow Bob on, write a musical piece for him to sing.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. Which is perfect for what they made him sing all of HMS Pinafore.
Oh, that's pretty cool. All right, any other thoughts about the episode in particular before we get into some spoilers about the Mr. Burns show?
Real quick, they just, one last thing about it, the season 4 crew actually created that episode, and the reason it got so silly is because they thought, what are they going to do, fire us? So it got so ridiculous and crazy because they were on the outs and the season 5 crew was about to. So it's a holdover from season 4.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
It does have more reality-breaking gags than your typical Simpsons episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was it was typical for season 5, too, so it seemed like it was just kind of, it was so popular that that's, it was what was to come.
Right. You know? Yeah.
The Conan O'Brien era kind of.
Right, thing. Yeah. All right, so now it's time we're going to talk a little bit about the actual play, the Mr. Burns post-electric play.
Oh, yeah.
So, so if you have not seen it and you don't want to hear anything about it, please skip ahead to
53 minutes and 19 seconds.
That time,
and hopefully we will figure out the time code and we'll put it in there. For this radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Over walkie-talkies.
We'll figure it out. Right.
Basically,
this is
going
to be hard.
The way we do that, we have time cop technology. So
great.
We can time travel a little bit. But
wait, you can do the splits in a kitchen?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's kind of a waste of technology. It should really get you limber, yeah.
The one thing I want to ask you, Hannah, is... The thing I love about Mr. Burns' post-apocalyptic play is... Post-electric play, excuse me. It's been years. And
we'll time cop that out.
Is that they don't get it 100% right.
Yeah.
They actually have some intentional mistakes. And one that I noticed when I saw it was they talk about how Bart runs from one end of the boat to the end, it's the alligators. And then on the other end, it's piranhas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in my seat, in my little Simpsons fan head, I was like, actually, it's electric eels.
Yeah.
It's not piranhas. But of course, that was done on purpose, just because
right. Well,
they
and that's
remember.
what the whole thing ends up being too. Is like it's like what the our myths you know turn into, mm-hmm. and how it becomes this whole game of telephone. Go ahead and if you'd like say you want to describe Act 1, 2, and 3 or
sure. So the first act with the electricity going out, a lot of the nuclear power plants have gone up, which is you know also there's you know there's nuclear power plants in Springfield for mm-hmm. The Simpsons, so there's that tie-in,
mm-hmm.
and they're just recalling the episode. You know, surviving in the woods because you can't really be in heavy populated areas. It's not safe.
Right.
So they're around the fire just trying to create some normalcy with this like mishmash group of people that are not their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're surviving, trying to retell this episode that you could tell it's been a while. Like, unless you're doing the show or a huge Simpsons fan,
and
you
even
wouldn't
that,
have seen
you
this
can't
episode
remember.
Recently.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're recalling that. And then another guy comes who he didn't remember the episode as well, but he was in a society for Gilbert and Sullivan.
That's right.
So they form a group, and then we time cop.
Yeah.
second act, 7 years in the future, where they now you know travel around Oklahoma area where there aren't nuclear power plants. To survive and perform old episodes of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. And they each have like troops, right?
Basically. Oh, yeah. There's like competing groups, like with more batteries available.
Right.
And so it's the survival as a group and like that weight of like, we have to survive. And but it also shows that the stories you need to escape rather than, you know, and to survive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When it was really, and I've heard, and I'll let you get to Act 3. I've talked with non Simpsons fans about it as well, and they love it. Like I talked to a friend that I work with at the old septic tank, and she said, yeah, she saw it, and she has watched like 45 seconds of The Simpsons, and she absolutely loved it. And it was even more interesting, I think, to us because. There were so many, like the rake gag. I thought was hilarious that you guys brought on the rakes in the second act and don't actually even use them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And there were towels wrapped around them because when you would use them in the show, he wouldn't want to hit his head.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really should have.
Yeah. Thanks.
Orin, you're bleeding all over the fire. Please just. Can you just, I know it's cold, but can you just back away
so,
a little?
So cold. So cold.
Oh, now he's colder than us. Okay. Whatever.
And save that blood, all right?
Not clotting.
So yeah, it was cool how, like, they did, they still got all, you guys still are getting all those, that information in, like, the rakes, and there's references to other episodes, there's references to the...
Pop culture, commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
commercials, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and it's great as a Simpsons fan, but it's also great as you know, understanding our myths and culture and what it could become in a kind of giant game of telephone, you know, that
mm-hmm.
becomes what we remember from it. And also, there's also something about that it's affecting their memory, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the details of what happens around radiation, but it's not fun. Yeah, so it's affecting their memory. But kind of falling on what you said, too, like my parents, I don't think they've ever seen an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But this was their favorite. Well, that was their favorite show that they had ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, the dealing with loss and, like, but The Simpsons themselves deals with so much more than just a cartoon, which
mm-hmm.
is why we love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's reflecting back who we are because it's definitely specifically like a typical American family.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and then we go to the third act where it's 75
years
in the future.
Yeah. And that's when, like, shit got cray.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
That's definitely where, and I had read the script before I saw it, and
cool.
And I loved it, and I, it was great because I don't know, when you're reading that script, it's also kind of tough, like, what? I gotta see this to see what is, you know, what they're gonna do with it. And and that third act is just crazy and awesome. And yeah, and it becomes, as a Simpsons fan, that was like at the beginning where like, you're not getting those details right.
Right.
That's actually, you know, that doesn't happen.
Right.
By the third act, that's all gone.
Oh,
you're like, just move along for the ride. Right. Yeah.
Well, because you think 75 years without electricity, and like one thing my mom said was like, at that point you have to not only find your own light, but you have to make your own light, which they do like literally and metaphorically. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and it Sideshow Bob in the episode has now become Mr. Burns.
He's now just Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Mr. Burns, like the epitome of all villains put together.
I love that it becomes Mr. Burns because it's like that, well, that's not right, but if you boiled The Simpsons down to its core archetype characters, Mr. Burns is the bad guy.
Yeah, and he's in it a lot more than Sideshow Bob. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, and if you think about like the biggest thing happening when the electricity goes out is all the radiation.
Yeah.
So you've like made your way to a place away from radiation, and who is like who's in charge of all the radiation in The Simpsons?
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Mr.
It's
Burns.
It's become their culture's bad guy. Like, because Sideshow Bob wouldn't be correct for their cult. Like if that's the bad guy of your current culture, well then it's going to be somebody like an archetype of somebody who had a lot to do with nuclear power. So it's cool that that's what it turns into.
Yeah.
And I love the appearance of Itchy and Scratchy too. Like, especially
as Dementors.
As like Mr. Burns's
henchman.
Yeah, his henchman. Because
most people would describe them as like a murderous mouse and cat. So if you play that game of telephone, people are like, oh my God, they're coming to kill us.
Right.
That's so great.
I love, there was a lot of little things so in the third act, you finally see these like pictures that are around the stage of the Simpsons characters kind of like deified almost.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's one of like was one like Wizard of Oz type one. Right?
Yeah, I think that's Lisa, and then Maggie is like the Lion King.
Oh, that's right.
Which is funny because they do that in The Simpsons. Like they always talk about like Maggie is gonna be like the one. There is one I think where even like the nuns are like is like gonna save them all.
That's right.
Right.
And all the time they're talking about like, oh my gosh, she's about to speak, and like.
That's right. Yeah.
And then what is Bart's? I think he has a lightsaber. And then Homer. They said it was George Washington fording the river. For the longest time, I thought he was a matador.
Oh right. Yeah, that's right.
And then Marge is like Norman Rockwell, like with the.
That's right.
The epitome of like homemaker and like. Feeding the family.
It's just so interesting to see, because they are those types of characters anyway, where they're all these archetypes, and they're now at the level of like Greek gods.
Oh yeah.
And then at the end, like in the show, Lisa, Marge, and Homer and Maggie die, and then they kind of come back as these angels.
Yeah, above the set.
And and the costumes were amazing too.
The costumes were Merritt Blumenfeld. I should ask her that. And
if she's still alive.
If she's still alive. And then the set was Joe Schermerle. I'm not great at.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It was. How was it to wear that? What was it to wear that?
It was very. It's like being inside of a sauna. It's all plastic.
It's like found materials, right?
Yeah, they had to keep fixing stuff because I remember stuff just kept breaking because it wasn't made to be clothes.
Yeah,
and like we had to like climb ladders and stuff. But it didn't smell great. Smell a lot like we do now.
Right, right.
But yeah, they're beautiful. They're so fun. You can't complain, but.
I love how they never, in the entire show, they never really talked about really what happened.
Yeah. They
don't even really talk about what's going on with putting up these Simpsons shows. They just drop you right into the middle of you're talking about all these other troops, and I forget some of the other troops' names, but a few of them are Simpsons references.
Like Thursday Night is one of them.
Thursday Nights, Thursday Night, yeah.
And Richard's Couch. is the other one.
Oh yeah, is that a reference? I wonder if
that
that's
I don't know. There's so much in the show that I don't think even we've tapped on it.
It gets intense too. That's what I love about it. That they're like I think it's the end of the second act in particular is like, whoa, shit's getting real. You know?
Yeah.
It was and I loved how it was very good at. It was very good at both making you laugh and also being intense dramatically and also being a big, oh, what the fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think there's also just something about The Simpsons, like even like a decade ago and even now after that, that what is it about The Simpsons that we cling to? Mm-hmm. I'd be interested like what you guys thought was like the protagonist and the antagonist and like the main conflict of each act.
Oh, wow.
I
think the first, I mean, like, the first act.
Yeah. You gotta go do something. I didn't realize you'd be thinking.
I gotta go catch food.
I was just gonna make some wise ass comments.
And it's interesting because, I mean, in the final act, it's obvious who, like, the antagonist and whatnot is. But at the same time, it's people playing characters the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you're people playing characters that are playing characters.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the first act it's just everyone's just around the fire and they're just still settling in on what it is to be living in this world, in this post-apocalypse world, and your character is not even really in it that much, like you get spooked.
She's had a lot.
Your character must have dealt with a lot. And then the second act is they're doing this show, and it was interesting to see your character, and I'm assuming it's the same person.
Yeah, they were all the same people, first and second act.
First and second act, but then obviously 75 years later, those are just, these are another acting troupe, and another, or maybe even the same troupe, but different performers and whatnot.
Yeah, like Descendants or something.
Yeah.
But I love how we see that your character now is this like empowered stage manager, basically.
Yeah.
And is also in the show, and oh gosh, and then the, oh man. So anyway, to your question, I think it's just kind of about not only keeping this like thing of normalcy, this like everyone kind of getting back into, this is important. Like we're a theater troupe and we are in the post-apocalyptic world, but we all have to kind of like work together and put this, because this show is important to people. So we have to like work through all these things of getting the show.
And there's a lot of that in the second act too. There's a lot of that inner turmoil between people in the group, like, well, I think it should be like this, and I think it's just a fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
We should be able to do this.
Yeah,
because they're worried about getting swallowed up, too, by, like, the other groups and stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because it is, like, this group has, like, however many Simpsons episodes, and they're doing it better.
Right, like, I can't believe they got Streetcar Named Marge.
Yeah.
I love the idea of them paying people for lines.
Oh, yeah.
From the show, and, like, you get certain lines, and then you get even deeper. Where one of the characters was saying that there was a guy who claimed that you used a line from one of your shows, and he was like, "No, man, we did not." And she read the line, and it wasn't from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I think it is from The Simpsons, but I think she like was like, "This is the line you gave me."
Oh, right.
And that's not what we used in the show.
Right, and then he gets upset.
Yeah,
and he like almost attacks her. Or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, like this, that is so specific and deep, and just getting you into that world. I just, that was amazing.
Well, I don't know if this is correct. This is something I took away from it. Like, I feel like the first two acts are very much them trying to recreate faithfully what they could of The Simpsons. And I feel like in the third act, then that society has been like, fuck it, we're making it our own.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I don't know if we were talking about this on mic or not, but just about like, letting The Simpsons grow and letting any show or movie or whatever, or Ghostbusters, now everybody freaking out about that, just letting it grow and become its own thing.
Because now it's going to be done by mutants after the very successful female
movie.
Right.
Yeah, women were great, but...
Yeah, the women were great.
I'll fucking die before I let a mutant and like ruin my childhood. But I think that was one thing I really enjoyed about the third act, where it just kind of came out and was kind of like, these are what The Simpsons are now. And that's what people will love. And maybe that's not what they intended. That's what, like, struck me about it. So
Yeah.
So what did you guys think was, like, the theme of the show?
I mean, I
The Simpsons.
I think it's probably too general, but like myths and culture and what they can become and doing it in a, I don't know, through our own culture, like seeing what that will become, what could it become if we took a lot of like our complete ability to see stuff again, like to yeah. you know, to mm-hmm. keep things on digital tapes and whatnot, like how well. But what I'm saying is, I don't know.
It took a while to say, I don't know.
Tire wires. It's terrible.
Have some more.
Okay.
I think it's really just the importance of memories of like holding on to like things like that and recreating things, but also, I guess it's like something as seemingly insignificant as The Simpsons can become so important, mm-hmm. can become as important as you want it to be, because it's like it's something that people love, and in a world where there's not a whole lot left where you can really even enjoy anything because you've lost everyone and you know you're outside and you don't have any of your creature comforts and you're like scratching for food like we all are right now. That just blew my mind. It's important to have these. Yeah, and it's just myth. It's just mythology. It becomes mm-hmm. this just like old stories that we just tell. And it's like something that humans have been doing forever.
Yeah.
We've always just been telling stories. We've been writing on cave paint, you know, cave
right.
walls.
Right, well, and it really does say, it makes you wonder about, you know, myths that you've heard from way back when. Like, what were they watching on TV?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that made them think of this stuff. Mm-hmm. No, but like, you know, like how different... Whatever actually started these myths and these stories, what they started off as, who knows? You know, it's
yeah. You know, what about you? What do you think of the?
I kind of like what you guys are saying. It's about how we need stories to survive, mm-hmm. you know, and how mythology develops because people need something to ground them in a chaotic world, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what happens from the beginning. Is that we don't know what to do, so let's remember something, you know?
Yeah, I think there's even like a note of like escapism, obviously, yeah. in there. I feel like a lot of people do that when they don't like their current situation. It's like, well, remember when.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so it does have some of that where it's like...
Especially in the second act.
Yeah, right? Definitely, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I love how the second...
Bloody constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I just remembered all of the dance sequences and the music. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's... I love that part because it uses... And all of the usage of popular culture of music is amazing, too. Yeah, don't tell anybody I forgot about the music.
It's okay.
Don't tell.
They're dead.
Thank God everyone's dead.
Yeah.
I love how the second act ends with a group of people bursting in and they have guns and they're going to just rob.
Yeah.
Like they have, it has nothing to do with, they're not like another Simpsons group or something. It's like they're just people who want to hurt you. And it's like, it really brings home the like reality of this world that you're living in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was great. It ended with a you know, shootout, and then it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had a friend who said it, because he's more of like a survivalist, he said it just made him so mad, because you hope like when electricity goes out that people will be human,
right.
And they're like, we'll barter, you know, and like be the best of themselves. But he says that Matt, like just seeing like thugs just coming and taking stuff.
Yeah.
It's just neat.
My light bulb flickers. Like I'm robbing the convenience store. Yeah. Yeah, I better.
Yeah.
It's like that blackout in the Simpsons.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where like everything blacks out and then.
They just look up, notice it's blacked out, and automatically in the entire town. Starts breaking windows, right. You know, like, and looting. Just there's no even, like, ah, here we go!
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, I think that might be the end of the spoilers.
Yeah, so you're back.
Fast forward to now.
And just time cop it.
Time cop it
if you have time cop technology. Yeah, if you have time cop technology and want to go back and see this show, you go to theater, it would be theaterwit.com.
Theaterwit.org. Yeah.
Theater's an R-E, right? I think it is.
Don't go to the theater. Don't go to the wrong website.
Look, Yeah, let's look it up on the pages from Wikipedia.
I'll look at these. Somebody ruffle papers.
Oh, yeah, here we
but
go.
But in the meantime, it has a cast.
It's actually an ER. It's THEATER, wit.org.
Yeah, and it ran through March of 2015.
That's just optimistic talk.
And it had Leah Erzendowski, Jeff Traynor, Kelly Abel, Leslie Shepherd, who you mentioned.
Yeah, Leslie Shepherd.
Leslie Shepherd, Andrew Jessup.
Hold on, let me get out my journal. I'm going to mark these. I'm going to check my name.
Christina Hall, Daniel Damaris, Andrea Vela-Simon, Spencer Meeks, Eric.
Yeah, I actually know Andrew and Spencer as well, yeah.
Ooh. New!
New.
No, there's still
Jerry Weisler.
Yeah, Spencer. Spencer's 9 feet tall now because of all the radiation.
Oh, he's gonna be so excited.
He can
that
still
said
play
that.
A good guitar, though. I'll
tell
you.
Yeah, he was like the punching bag of the show.
Was he?
Yeah, so easy
well,
to pick on him.
Yeah, no, I get that.
With
yeah.
his little melodica.
Hi, Spencer. Glad you're 9 feet tall now. Go to theaterwith.org. The show is great. Look into it.
We got 3.5 stars from the trip.
From Mr. Jones?
We're so sad Mr. Jones passed.
Oh, he passed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You guys
I thought you meant passed on passed on on actually doing the show. But
we
yeah,
really wanted him for the show.
Yes. Oh, time heals. Decades and decades of post-apocalyptic strife heals all wounds.
Yeah,
and opens them up sometimes,
yeah.
As in Warren's case.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for stumbling onto our campsite.
Yeah,
and,
I'm going to go fend for myself now.
Be careful of all the wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it, hey.
That was in the show, too, with Grandpa.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you well.
I'm cold, and there are wolves after me.
And there are wolves after me. Yeah, and that will be you now. So be
right.
careful.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Yay! All right, now remember to take all your bindles and all your satchels. And,
and have some tire water.
Oh, thank God.
That was great. Were you going to say?
I was going to say exactly what you were going to say. That was really nice.
That was really nice
for her to stumble
her.
Upon
this little campsite that we have.
Well, yeah, Godspeed, Hannah Gomez.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great. I can't believe that we ran into her. It just reminded me of how, is it situational irony of us talking about Mr. Burns in the post-apocalypse?
Yeah, and then that person, what is it when that a person from the show actually shows up? What kind of irony is that?
Is it serendipitous irony?
You know what? We make our own rules now. I think we should say serendipitous irony.
What do you think, Warren?
Fuck it.
All right, so let's watch one more episode. We're going to skip the Danger Zone today.
No Danger Zone.
But let's do one more classic. So, Warren, get your oil drum full of dead squirrels.
So what I've done is I've taken 11 squirrels.
Okay.
And I've drawn a number on them. And so I'll roll them around this giant oil drum.
Well, you carved a number.
You know what? If we're going to get all serendipitous about this. So here we go. I'm going to spin the drum around and reach in. And
all right, here we go. Go ahead and spin it around.
All righty.
There we go.
And the squirrel I reach in and grab is season one.
Season one.
Yeah, wow. Squirrel one.
All right, well, season one only had 13 episodes, so you got 13 extra squirrels.
You have a great... Well, hold on, let me kill a couple.
Hold on, he's got to go catch a couple of them.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Oh.
God, I never get over seeing
All right, so they're in the drum, and the squirrel I come up with is squirrel seven.
Squirrel seven, that's the call of the Simpsons. That means we have to recreate where Homer is in the woods and Homer and Bart. It's going to be perfect.
Well,
it's absolutely
perfect. Well, I think that's like double serendipitous irony.
Fuck you.
Directed by Wes Archer, written by John Swartzwelder, first aired February 18th, 1990. Who's recreating it? Is it me or you, Sam?
Do you want to do rock, paper, scissors for it?
Okay, just get your rock.
All right.
All right, ready?
I get to do it, you son of a bitch!
I'm gonna smash you with this rock!
I'm gonna stab you right in the fucking face!
All right, I'll do it.
Okay, cool.
All right. All right, let me just stretch out. And
my knapsack on my back.
Ah, Homer, my brilliant beast. Mwah. And credits.
Nicely done. You know, honestly, I think that was easier for you since we're already in the woods.
But yeah, it's true. It's true, yeah. It's
cheating.
Yeah.
No, it's not cheating.
No, no, you know what? He had to do the clip show last week. He did another Simpsons clip show, and that was intense. So yeah, he deserved a week off.
I just hate doing those. It just sells out, you know? I feel like I'm selling out when I'm performing.
Right, yeah.
Those, you know. But I mean, you know what? We have to do so many a season. And
right, yeah.
we need to give the writers a break somehow.
But yes, good job. Shit, I was going to... What was the name of the episode again? The Call of the Simpsons.
Call of the, yeah, that's right.
So Homer gets... where they all go, you know, on a trip. They buy an RV at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, get jealous of Flanders' RV, yeah.
Run into the very first appearance of Albert Brooks as Cowboy Bob, which is funny because there's also a Sideshow Bob that we just talked about.
Yeah. That's right. And he works at the Bob's RV Roundup. This episode... The chalkboard gag was, I will not draw naked ladies in class, which is interesting because it's not really a joke. It's just it's kind of like, wow.
I think there were a lot of first season and maybe even second season, his chalkboard, the gags were hardly gags.
They
it was
were,
really
yeah.
just like things that...
Different things that
Bart might end up writing on the board.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And the couch gag in this one was... Nothing.
Right, yeah.
There
was just sitting there. Yeah.
They were sitting there ready to watch television.
Right, yeah.
And that's it. That's the whole thing.
They're probably tired of writing those things by episode 7.
It's probably true.
Right, so,
lazy early just season 1
sit
writers.
Sit them down. Yeah, so it was, you know, it's very much a season 1 episode.
Yep.
It's I mean, but at the same time, I don't know. It's a season 1 episode in the way that it's very disjointed and strange. Because honestly, it's wackier than season 1 gets usually.
Yeah.
Because it's John Schwartzwelder, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it started with them going camping and then them ending with Homer being confused for Bigfoot.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It turns into like kind of a media frenzy of Bigfoot's real and here and we've captured him. And
Yeah. It's pretty silly. I mean, it's silly in a way that they, I don't know, if they did it now or if they had done it in the better seasons. They do it differently, and I don't know. It's basically a big joke about how Homer's a dummy,
right? Yeah,
you know, yeah.
The couple of trivia things. The RV that they don't buy, but the really really big one is called the Ultimate Behemoth, and it's so big that it has its own cable satellite that is only for that RV.
And there's a fryer in it.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
There's four of them. Four deep fryers. One for each part of the chicken.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Albert Brooks is great in this. It's a weird episode, but this is the one that I always forget that he's in, too, trying to think of which ones he does. And you can tell they just let him go again. You know, they really just kind of...
Yeah.
This is the...
He totally had some amazing improv moments when he was talking to Homer about, like, it's like, are you Roman? You look Roman. Like, all right, come on. You look like a god. You got a good face. Come on, Zeus. Let's go get you into the...
Yeah, he does this very good car salesman that's just trying to like, you know what? I like you.
I like your face. Yeah. I mean it. I really do.
I'm not just saying that.
Cowboy Bob has a couple of signs in his office. One of them says bankruptcy, schmankruptcy, bad credit, good. And we give credit to everyone. So basically, they don't care if you have bad credit.
Yeah.
They will take your money no matter what.
A plot twist that involved Homer being carried away to an eagle's nest and being raised as a baby eagle was suggested for this episode by James L. Brooks, but they ended up going with the Maggie being raised by bears plot instead.
Oh.
And that was an interesting one, too. That didn't feel like The Simpsons to me. It's still fun,
yeah.
But it almost felt like a Disney cartoon.
It was
very family friendly.
Yeah, it was all silent.
Maggie befriends bears.
Yeah, it wasn't even full of comedy. It was
really.
Just sweet. It was Maggie with bears, and they like bring her a bunch of toys.
Yeah.
And one of them sucks on a pacifier the whole time.
Right. And not to mention that the Simpsons themselves were very lackadaisical in their care for Maggie in this episode. Yeah. Like, Marge has a line. She's like, oh, she was around here somewhere. It's like,
right.
She's a one-year-old baby.
Right. She's a baby in the wilderness, and you're really close to a cliff.
Right?
You're super close.
Yeah, so she, like, Maggie's, like, shaking at one point, and Homer's like, can somebody take care of her? And nobody picks her up or anything.
Nobody really picks her up, yeah.
And there's, that being said, there's still some great gags. Like, the look, Maggie, birdies. And they're these vultures right. that are just following them around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. There was a mention of Bart's lucky red hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Homer thinks that, another time that Homer thinks that Bart's dead because
because of the lucky red hat, yeah.
He only sees the hat. So it's like, oh, my boy.
And I imagine, since this is the 7th episode of the series, that was the first appearance of the Lucky Red Hat.
Most likely. Or at least called out.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I think he had the hat on.
There's been other times he's worn it, too, and they've said nothing about it.
Yeah, but now it's Bart's Lucky Red Hat.
Yeah.
You said that there were Burger King toys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Their Burger King figurines were made out of the camping designs of the Simpsons family in this episode.
Mm.
And Hannah was actually saying that she, when she was a kid, she had all these, she had these camping figurines of the Simpsons, and it was from this episode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's kind of why they made this episode in certain ways. It was like, this is the wackiest one.
Right.
You know, we can license this a bit if they want to go for a specific feel.
We should explain, Hannah, after she left and we said goodbye, came back and watched the performance of the episode.
Yeah.
Right, she just couldn't stay. Well, the wolves kind of...
She robbed us.
She did. It ended up being a trick.
Yeah.
And she robbed us of all.
We'll be dead soon.
So right.
No food.
This is probably the final episode of...
Really, we're just broadcasting for help now.
Right.
If you hear this... Please help us.
But we love the sound of our own voices, so we can't just ask for help. We have to keep going.
Right. Yeah, we got
to
finish
it. Yeah, I mean, you can't keep asking for help. So while you look for help, whoever we're talking to, we could just finish talking
we
about the episode.
We should have led with help, actually.
Right.
Oh, wow, yeah. So Albert Brooks was... didn't want to be named. My side hurts so bad. You know, Albert Brooks goes by A. Brooks in the episode because... Oh. Among many guest stars in the first season did not know if they wanted to be by name in a cartoon, which is just so funny to me now because they all wanted to do it for some reason. They all were like,
but
yeah.
It was maybe bad for their career.
Right.
If they were named in a cartoon. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even as far as the second season when, you know, with Mr. Bergstrom, Dustin Hoffman didn't. I don't know if maybe that was a legality thing, but
could be. Yeah.
But he didn't want to be named for some reason.
That's very strange. Yeah, that's very interesting. Another trivia thing I noticed was the name of the gorge. I'm guessing it's the gorge that the RV crashed into in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tenderfoot Gorge.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's all I wrote.
This episode was nominated for an Emmy Award in 1990 in the category Outstanding Sound Mixing for a Comedy Series or Special.
Interesting.
So good sound mix. I noticed there was really good. You did a good performance of the sound mixing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I would like to get an equivalent of an Emmy, if that's all right.
I mean, we can make
one of my dead squirrels.
Yeah, we can make one out of the dead squirrels.
That would be great. I'm starving.
One of them is actually named Emmy. So,
Which number?
4.
On that note, great episode. Let's move on to Warren's questions.
That's right. So we're going back a while.
Yeah, we totally forgot about this for years.
Yeah,
like,
this is. Oh God, it's really hard to make this make sense. okay, so.
We'll time cop it.
It'll all time cop it. All time cop
just,
it.
Just time cop it. All right. Okay. All right, so...
The last time we did this, the episodes were...
They were Marge and Shane's, Rosebud, Lisa's, Sax.
All right, those fucking wolves.
Right?
okay, so we watched them. We even went back to see what... Like, to really try to figure it out, and we couldn't figure it out.
Nope.
The patterns that we saw in some of them that did not seem to go with them... Jimmy Carter is in both
both
Rosebud and both Rosebud and Marge and Chains.
Yeah,
there was also some shipping internationally with you know.
I thought maybe it was for a second. It was like childhood items. It was like, because there's Bobo in one, and then Maggie, or Maggie loving a childhood item.
Nope. Right. It's something very, very, very specific.
Really?
And I will give
us some hints, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It is a person who is not on the show.
Okay.
So they're not in any of the episodes.
Yeah, so they mention a person 3 times.
Oh, jeez.
And it's a tough one.
Okay, getting other hints?
Yeah.
Is it a celebrity?
Yes, in a way.
All right.
In a way.
So they mention this person. It's a fictional person. They mention a fictional person 3 times.
Is it
a
Simpsons character?
No.
Okay.
It's somebody from our real world.
Okay.
Okay, could you give an instance in one of the episodes where it happens?
Yes. Homer, Mr. Burns is dreaming about his bear, uh-huh. and across town, Homer is dreaming of somebody else.
Is it? No.
Sheriff Lobo?
Sheriff Lobo.
Did they mention Sheriff Lobo each one?
In each one, yeah.
How did I completely miss that?
What?
Yeah. What are the other ones?
So there's obviously that one I just mentioned.
The Sheriff Lobo.
Margin Chains. Homer's talking about Sheriff Lobo and like his head's going around and it's like, what's like Flintstones chewable morphine? So that.
Oh, Lobo. Miss Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Lisa Sachs, when they're playing the piano at the beginning, like All in the Family, they're like, we should, however the lyrics go, we need a person like Sheriff Lobo again.
Damn.
Yeah. Sheriff Lobo.
Okay.
Yeah. I felt so stupid because like you were like, yeah, no, I think this one's easy, but yeah. I don't know, let's do it anyway. And I totally missed it.
I totally.
Maybe I'm so used to Homer saying Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah, those are the only 3 times he says Sheriff Lobo.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't even know who Sheriff Lobo is.
It's just some show I've never seen it, like from the 70s. I remember when that joke ran the first time, I was like, what the hell is Sheriff Lobo?
Right. Oh, it just became a Homer reference to me. I had no idea.
Yeah. That's,
wow.
That's a good one.
Before we move on to the, just because I, the Lisa, before we move on to the next one, Lisa Sachs, it reminded me of something that we were totally wrong about the idea that the sax solo at the beginning of each episode is different for the season, like per season, or at least according to snpp.com. There are a bunch of different ones, and if you go on snpp.com, there's this whole list.
At the abandoned library.
At the abandoned library.
Yeah.
There's this entire list of what they've, of the different ones, and they've given them names and everything. They've given them descriptive names like main theme high, main theme variation 1, slow downward blues scale, and they have like 37 of them. So there's tons of Lisa Sachs solos. And I wanted to point out that, go on snpp.com/guides/soloist, solo list, that is, and there's this whole big list, and the person who does it, the person who does those solos is named, what the fuck is her name? Yeah, let me look.
God, stop it with those papers.
No, I have to. Shit, I don't know. I can't find it, but...
we'll time cop it back
in. We'll time cop it. Yeah, look it up. I can't find it at the moment, but... Kim Richmond apparently did the original season. Terry Harrington is the name of the person who's done it since Alf Clausen's first episode, which was in season 2. Oh. So Alf Clausen's been doing the show since season 2, mm-hmm. brought in Terry Harrington, and Terry Harrington is the person who does Lisa's sax solos. And apparently Kim Richmond was before that. And Bleeding Gums Murphy's sax was played by Dan Higgins, starting in season 2. Oh. Okay, I got that off my
chest.
There you
go. Oh, okay. Excellent. Oh, also, I wanted to say, so during the break, I looked up in the big pile of papers that the name of...
You were performing?
Yeah, while I was performing. You guys didn't... I thought maybe it was going to ruin it. Did it not ruin it?
No,
I fell asleep. I don't know.
And I just
had a little blood in you.
I just like watching Warren sleep. So I was really just
Was watching me.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
But go on. What were you going to say?
Drown my sorrows in this tire water / Warren's blood. So the name of the announcer in the Up Late with McBain is Uber Gruppenführer Wolfcastle. And Uber Gruppenführer translates as Gruppenführer means group leader. And Uber is just super. So basically, it's super group leader, Wolfcastle. So it's an illusion that it's not only a Nazi, but it's some sort of...
But he's a leader.
Some sort of a leader. And he's a wolf castle.
Right.
As well.
And Rainier has hired him to do the opening to announce his late night talk show.
Up late with McBain.
So, new patterns.
Okay, yeah. And if you're time copying back to the past at any time and you hear this, feel free to tweet what you think your answer might be to this. We can give you like a shout out or something on Twitter.
Right,
I don't know, whatever. Or we can like, you know.
Whatever past us really wants to.
Right, yeah.
What?
We were dicks back then.
I don't even know that guy.
We might not do anything.
Yeah.
All right. So for this pattern, so it's always hard to like give a clue because I don't want to like give it away. So it's a thing.
Okay.
Is what I'll say. And the three episodes that this thing appears in, and also I try to pick episodes where this is the only time this phrase or that's when that comes up. So if there's four, I'll say if there's a four. But
okay.
So,
okay.
Just in case you're like, well, I found a pattern, but it also continues on to something else.
Oh, okay.
And that's probably not it.
Okay.
So like Bart's Lucky Red Hat's probably like in five episodes.
Yeah. So it's not.
It wouldn't be that
cool. Get to the money.
So the episodes are Three Men in a Comic Book.
Okay.
Brother from the Same Planet and Lady Bouvier's Lover.
Cool. Three Men in a Comic Book.
Brother from the Same Planet.
Brother from the Same Planet.
And Lady Bouvier's Lover.
Cool.
All right.
And it's the only time these three things show up in The Simpsons.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow. All right.
That's because I was actually going to do this however many years ago. I had to double check my sources.
It took a lot of time.
Yeah. I had a time cop back there. I like beat this bandit for some money and then the splits in the kitchen.
We should really use this time copping to
just go
save
back
the world.
To stop time cop from ever being made.
Let's do it.
Let's go. All right, you guys. Hold hands.
All right, here we go.
Thanks for listening to Simpsons Mixtape.
Thank you very much.
See you, suckers.